at rest. I and my Savior are happy and blessed. I am watching and I'm waiting. I'm looking above and I'm filled.
Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, You Don't Need to Cast Lots with God. Today's message is based on Esther's chapter 9 and 10. So let us open with prayer. Lord, this is a day you have made. Help us to rejoice in it and be glad. Remind us of the privileges we enjoy as your people to come to you in these moments, to confess our sin, to receive forgiveness and to give it, to pray and sing and listen, to renew our fainting spirits, to rest in all your promises. Open our eyes to see you, Lord. Open our ears to hear your word. Visit us through your Holy Spirit and help us to celebrate our faith. Amen. So now turn in your Bibles to Esther's chapter 9 and 10. And now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day, the time for the king's command and his decree to be executed. On the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, the opposite occurred, in that the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. The Jews gathered together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king and to lay hands on those who sought their harm. And no one could withstand them, because fear of them had fallen upon all the people. And all the officials of the provinces helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's palace. His fame spread throughout all the provinces, for this man Mordecai became increasingly prominent. And thus the Jews defeated all their enemies with the stroke of the sword. With slaughter and destruction, they did what was pleased those who hated them. And in Shushan, the capital, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. And also the 10 sons of Haman, the enemy of the Jews they killed, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. On that day, the number of those who were killed in the citadel was brought to the king. And the king said to Queen Esther, "The Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men in the capital, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. Or what is your further request? It shall be done." And then Esther said, "If it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do it again tomorrow according to the day's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows." So the king commanded this to be done. The decree was issued, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. And the Jews who were in the capital gathered together again on the 14th day of the month of Adar and killed 300 men. But they did not lay a hand on the plunder. The remainder of the Jews in the king's provinces gathered together and protected their lives. They had rest from their enemies. They killed 75,000 of their enemies, but they did not lay hand on the plunder. This was the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th of the month they rested and made it a day of fasting and gladness. But the Jews who were in the capital assembled together on the 13th day as well as the 14th, and on the 15th of the month they rested. They made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled town celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar with gladness and feasting as a holiday and for sending presents to one another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in the provinces of the king to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar, as the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which they turned from sorrow to joy, and for the mourning to a holiday. And they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun as Mordecai had written them, because Haman the son of Haggadah the Agite, the enemy of the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them. He had cast a pur, that is the lot, to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. So they call these days Purim, after the name Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letters, what they had seen concerning this matter, and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year, according to the written instructions, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote the full authority to confirm the second letter about Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the king, with words of peace and truth, to confirm that these days of Purim at their appointed time, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had prescribed for them, and as they had decreed for themselves and their descendants concerning the matters of fasting and lamenting. So the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim as it was written in the book. And now chapter 10, and the king imposed tribute on the land and on the islands of the sea. Now all the acts of his power and his might and the account of his greatness and the greatness of Mordecai to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second to the king, was great among the Jews and well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen. So today we finished the book of Esther and summarize what it all means for us today. The Jews thought it important enough to create a feast to celebrate this event, but more importantly, this gives us a glimpse of God's plan for his people, which includes us in times of great trouble. If only we would listen, be observant, and obey what God has ordered for us. Now, this portion of the book is just a little gory and violent, but in reality, such is life. We have become far too soft in how we live. We are not to become overly aggressive, but we must be ready to assume our responsibility in caring for our families and our nation. Now turning to the first five verses in the 12th month, the month of Adar. The day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to overpower them, the opposite occurred. Now this was the date originally set by Haman to destroy the Jews. Now the Jews definitely had their enemies, those who wished to destroy them, yet they had someone great on their side, the king with all his resources. With the king for them, it didn't matter who was against them. We have our own enemies to deal with, but the King of Kings is on our side. We have no reason to fear. And Paul tells us from Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And then going to verses 6 through 10, "And in the citadels the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men, and the 10 sons of Haman, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder." Now these verses are pretty much repeated below, but one point is that they did not lay hand on the plunder. It was normal to plunder or take your enemy's property after a conquest. Haman had used the reward of plunder to inspire the Persians to attack the Jews. Yet the Jews did not seek financial reward for their actions, even though they could. This tells us how important it is to look at motive for actions. Why do you do some horrible things? When it is for personal profit, it is usually for evil. And then more death, 11 through 17, "That those who killed in the citadel was brought to the king, and the king said to Queen Esther, 'They have destroyed 500 men and the 10 sons of Haman. And what have they done in the rest of the kingdom?' Then Esther says, 'If it pleases the king, let it be granted to Jews to do it again tomorrow.' And the king commanded this be done." So the Jews gathered together, they protected their lives, they had rest from their enemies, and they killed 75,000 of their enemies, but did not lay hand on the plunder. Many have criticized Esther for this, saying it showed a lack of love toward enemies. Yet she displayed the same principle found so often in Joshua, and she and God would not settle for less than total victory. Esther only was responding to God's will and not her own. Haman and his sons were descendants of the ancient Amalekites, and we have to compare Esther 3 to 1 Samuel 15, where God commanded Saul, the son of Kish, to execute the full extent of God's judgment against the Amalekites. Saul failed, but this latter descendant of the tribe of Benjamin and a son of Kish named Mordecai in Esther 2 completed God's judgment against the Amalekites. Spurgeon says it was God's intent that the last conflict should take place between Israel and Amalek. The conflict which began with Joshua in the desert was to be finished by Mordecai in the king's palace. And going to verses 18 and 19, "But the Jews assembled together on the 13th day, the 14th and the 15th, and then they rested. It was a day of feasting and gladness." And then in verses 20 through 32, we have the beginning of the Jewish Feast of Purim. "And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews. And the Jews had rest from their enemies. And Haman, the son of the Agite, the enemy of all Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them, and had cast the pur, that is the lot, to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot which Haman had devised should return on his own head, that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. So these days were called Purim after the name Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning this matter and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants that all would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time. These days should be remembered and kept through every generation." And then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm the second letter about Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews. And they had decreed for themselves and their descendants concerning matters of their fasting and lamenting. So the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in this book. Now, the principle of remembering God's great deliverance is good. We too often forget His great works. Today, Purim is one of the more popular Jewish feasts, with costumes, games, plenty of fun and noise. It occurs 7 times every 19 years. And the day following the victory of the Jews over their enemies, the 13th of Adar, a date now observed in most years with the Feast of Esther, which is normally celebrated every year. Now this year, it was celebrated on March 13 and 14. Purim is the plural word of the Hebrew word for pure, or meaning lot. Its use as the name of this festival came from Esther 3:6 through 7, describing the choice of date which Haman selected as the result of casting lots. Purim has more of a national than religious character. Its status as a holiday is on a different level from those days ordained by the Holy Torah. As such, according to some authorities, business transactions and even manual labor are allowed on Purim under certain circumstances. A special prayer for the miracles is inserted into the prayers during evening, morning, and afternoon prayer service, and also is included the grace after meals. The entirety of chapter 10 is actually an epilogue. And the king imposed tribute on the land and the islands, and all the acts of his power and his might, are they not recorded in the books of the Medes and the Persians? And Mordecai the Jew was second to the king and great among the Jews. And they were seeking the good for his people and seeking peace for his countrymen. Mordecai the Jew was second to the king and was great among the Jews, seeking their good and seeking peace for all of his countrymen. And Spurgeon sums this book up with, "It has been well said that the book of Esther is a record of wonders without a miracle. Therefore, although equally revealing the glory of God, it sets it forth in another fashion from that which is displayed in to overthrow a Pharaoh by miraculous power." Think of it as God arranged in this story of Esther. God arranged for the noble queen to lose her place. God arranged for a competition to replace the queen. God arranged for Esther to enter the competition. God arranged special favor for both Esther among the other women. God arranged for Mordecai to have access to both Esther and the affairs of the kingdom. God arranged the lot that was cast to give 11 months warning before the planned massacre, from Esther 3:12. God arranged that the decree command that the Jews be killed by private hands instead of by the army of Persia, which would have been much more difficult to stop. God arranged that Haman restrain his anger and not kill Mordecai immediately in Esther 5:10. God arranged for Esther to delay her request, first asking for a banquet with the king and then another banquet. God arranged for Haman's anger to come to a peak on the one particular day. God arranged for the king to have a sleepless night. God arranged for the king to send for a certain book during his sleepless night. And God arranged for the king to listen to the passage about Mordecai in that particular book. In all this, God's will is accomplished. But yet men are perfectly free agents. Haman did as he pleased. The king did as he wanted. And so did Mordecai and Esther. We see no interference, no coercion. They all do their will and bear full responsibility. Yet God works out his eternal plan for the ages through it all. And again from Spurgeon, "There it is. Man is a free agent in what he does, responsible for his actions, and verily guilty when he does wrong. And he will be justly punished too. And if he be lost, the blame will rest with himself alone. Yet there it is, one who ruleth over all, who without complicity in their sin, makes even the actions of wicked men to subserve his holy and righteous purpose." Believe these two truths, and you will see them in practical agreement on daily life, though you will not be able to devise a theory for harmonizing them on paper. So God, in his wise and providential plan, allows his people to be tested, sometimes severely so. We must not suppose that the servants of God will be protected from every trial, because the trials are God's design. It was a great trial for Mordecai. He refused to bow to Haman, and others would suffer for his refusal to pay homage to Haman. It was a great trial for Esther. She heard the news of the coming slaughter of her people and had to be boldly approaching the king to make her appeal. Our final note from Spurgeon: Last of all, let each child of God rejoice that we have a guardian so near the throne. Every Jew in the kingdom must have felt hope when he remembered that the queen was a Jewess. Today, let us be glad that Jesus is exalted. When we look at our world today, we see Haman again active in the person of Iran, Hamas, and Hezbollah, attempting to challenge God's plans for humanity and their attempt to utterly destroy Israel. We think of this as all political, and politics is involved, but what is really happening is spiritual. It is an open attack against God and all who worship God and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. If we go to Genesis 12:3, it says, "I will bless those who bless you, I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of earth shall be blessed." There are 66 places in the Bible that reflect the same thought. God thought it important enough to remind us these 66 times, and we should be reminded again on this day. Now, we are also to pray for the peace in Jerusalem, as is found in Psalm 122, 3 through 9. And it says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. And for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Now, this same thought is found 30 times in the Bible. It's far more important than the simple resolution of a border conflict, but also for the future of our own nation. Will America pray for the peace in Jerusalem and Israel, or will we defy God and refuse? Our election this November is a critical point for this very reason, as well as many of others, such as abortion, the sanctity of marriage, and the design of human sexuality. The lives of our children is at risk as those of the world desire to destroy the simple joy of childhood and replace it with perversion and pain out of hatred of God. So where will God's people stand? Where will you stand? Amen. So we close with our benediction. This is a traditional Purim blessing. "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, commanded us concerning the reading of Esther. And blessed are you, Lord our God, the King of the universe, who performed miracles for our forefathers in those days and at this time. And blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has granted us life, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this occasion. Blessed are you, God, Spirit of the universe, who has given us life, has sustained us in that life, and has brought us to this moment in time. So, Lord, we pray you be with us now in our time of great trouble to strengthen us and to prepare us for such a day as this. And all this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our coming Savior. Amen." So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then the Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find the videos of our messages on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
fall.